broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk, always at your fingertips. This is the broadcast for, August the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio, the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. It's bloody. It's messy. It's difficult. It oftentimes leads to a crackdown and a tyranny. That's why I thank heavens for our founding fathers and that they were successful. We don't need a revolution now. That's why we reject it. We do stand for a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We have not been live for the last few days because I've been at a personal family reunion, which I will break down over the next several days and give you some intimate personal family details of what happened and all those kind of things. It's just tremendous. It's all about God, family, and country for us. We live it, breathe it, eat it. We love it, and it is part of who we really are, and we share that with you, our extended audience, who we consider our extended family. So we appreciate all of you, and I will break down the details about all that as we go forward. We've got a lot going on. I'm still live from New York. I'm literally in East Chester. I guess it's Westchester County. East Chester's in Westchester. Go figure. Nevertheless, a very beautiful area. You know, when you get out of the city in New York, it's tremendous. Upstate New York is just beautiful, wonderful country. New York City's neat to visit. I just wouldn't want to live there. It's just too crowded, too gridlocked. But nevertheless, when you get outside of the New York City area, it's just a tremendous country. What a wonderful, blessed country we live in. I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, so I'm on the road. I will be on the road today and tomorrow as well. And we've done a couple of rebroadcasts. Hopefully you've enjoyed some of the best of Liberty Roundtable Live over the last couple of days. But we've done a lot of tremendous live broadcasts from the road, covering the Hershey Chocolate Factory in detail. Hopefully that was kind of interesting and entertaining for you all. You know, we've covered some of the 9/11 tribute stuff that we've done. I got some stuff from Philadelphia. I literally went and got the chance to touch the Liberty Bell and interview a Liberty Bell curator that was there. We'll bring that to you as the broadcast unfolds. I've got some Gettysburg stuff to brief you on. Just so you know, the Bushman family is from Pennsylvania. They actually immigrated from Germany to Pennsylvania in the 1700s. And I've got some of that stuff for you. And there's Bushman farms still around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And all around Gettysburg, there's Bushman farms there even to this day. Just tremendous, beautiful country, beautiful land, hardworking farmers. My fourth great grandfather literally fought in the Civil War with George Washington. Just tremendous, tremendous stuff to celebrate and to be part of. And we'll bring it all to you. But this hour, we've got our buddy Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, going to be with us. We'll get to him in just a second. Second hour, next hour, hey, was Sam Bushman's fourth great-grandmother, in other words, great-great-great-great, fourth great-grandmother, was she a slave? The answer is yes, she was a white slave in America. We'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds second hour, so stay tuned for riveting talk radio, to say the least. Without further ado, though, Kurt Crosby is with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Kurt Crosby's been taking a couple of days off from radio as I've been traveling, but you haven't taken off on the honey sales, have you, Kurt?
No, we haven't, Sam. Yeah, we've been trying to make a buck and chasing the almighty dollar.
Unfortunate necessity of today. The thing is, I don't really like chasing the almighty dollar for the dollar's sake. I'm not really interested in the getting and spending plan that our society seems to create this treadmill about. But I am interested in and supportive of hard work and the necessity of work. Work is a good, blessed thing for folks. And, hey, we want to die with our boots on working for the great cause of God, family, and country. And so kind of a dichotomy there a little bit, but there you go. Is Lowell Nelson with us?
I am. Good morning to you both.
Welcome to the broadcast, sir. So did you hear my fourth great-grandmother was a slave in America, a white slave?
I sure did, Sam. Sounds very interesting.
They call them indentured servants back then because it sounds better. When you're white, they can't really say that you're a slave because they don't know what to do with that. But nevertheless, she was forced at 14 years old against her parents' will and against her will. And I call that a slave, sir.
Well, I would too, Sam. It'll be interesting to hear how she lived her life and how she rose above that indentured servitude status.
So anyway, long story short, we've got a bunch over the last several days. We've been bringing to people all kinds of things from Philadelphia to Gettysburg to the Liberty Bell to Independence Hall to, and I don't know if you've learned about the new Revolution Museum that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints sponsored in Philadelphia, but I went to that too. And we'll have some breakdown on that tremendous, tremendous historical museum that really brings forth some beautiful history in America. So expect a lot of cool broadcasts. I've got a lot of sound bites in the field and stuff like that that we've played over the last several days and that we'll play going forward for the next several days, too. So that's coming. But, lol, Congress is backing war big time is the point today, right?
Well, they sure are, Sam. Two of the items I want to discuss this morning are about war. The first one, first is a little bit of good news, however. And, good news if you're a fan of liberty, but overall bad news, I guess what I'm talking about is the U.S. Senate, that during the second week of July, so just about 3 weeks ago, they passed a bill, Sam, reaffirming U.S. support for the NATO alliance, the North American Treaty Organization, NATO, and calling on further involvement in Europe. The NATO was founded to protect Europe from the Soviet Union almost 30 years after the end of the Cold War, and the collapse of the Soviet Union. Here we are. There is no justification for the United States to continue to spend billions of dollars propping up this outdated alliance. At least that was the position of two senators, Rand Paul and Mike Lee. Rand Paul from Kentucky, Mike Lee from Utah. Those being the only two senators to oppose that resolution that passed the U.S. Senate during the second week of July, Sam. So kudos to Senators Rand Paul from Kentucky and Senator Mike Lee from Utah for being the only senators to oppose this resolution. Sam?
Where's Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio when you need them, sir?
Good question, Sam. I don't know where they are, but everybody's just in favor of the same old status quo. That's what politicians like, is the status quo. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to challenge authority. They simply want to collect their paycheck and maintain their seat of power, and they spend about half of their time while serving in Washington, D.C., so-called serving the public. They spend about half of their time raising money, campaigning, and filling their coffers so that they can beat any challenger at the ballot box.
Now, Donald Trump campaigned on a humble foreign policy where he was basically saying we need to pull out of these agreements that don't favor America. We fund 90% of it, and we have little control of it in the global scheme of things, right?
He did, Sam. And, of course, that's what George W. Bush Jr., you know, what he ran on, too, was a humble foreign policy. And, of course, when he got into office, he did just the opposite. Now, Trump got into office, and, I guess it's a little arguable. I will give him some kudos for, you know, when he bombed Syria, not this year but last year, he basically just bombed an empty airfield, 59 cruise missiles. Maybe they had some old weaponry they needed to just dispose of so they could buy new weaponry so they could keep lining the pockets of some of the companies in the military-industrial complex. I don't know. But thankfully, he didn't kill any people with those 59 cruise missiles. He just bombed an empty airfield. So you could say, well, he's a hawk, and maybe he is. But on the other hand, he didn't kill anybody, and I consider that good news. Even though he did launch the missiles, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't take any life. Now, that's in contradistinction to what's happening in Yemen, for example, where the U.S. is supporting the Saudi Arabia genocide of the Yemeni people. They're bombing there daily, even as we speak. They continue to bomb that country. probably the weakest, poorest country in the Middle East. And the Saudi Arabians, they don't want Yemen. They don't want the Houthis in power. They want their own sock puppet in power. And so they're trying to turn the people against the Houthi regime there in Yemen. And, of course, the U.S. is right along with them, supporting their bombers, giving them targeting information, refueling their bombers while they're in the air, sitting in the second seat of the cockpit, helping the Saudi fighters, do their bombing run. So the U.S. is totally in bed with the Saudis on this, and it's a sad thing that Trump is continuing that particular policy. So there's some good and there's some bad with our current presidential, position on foreign policy.
And my take on this is, we can break down the details of every initiative and things and point out the good and the bad, and I think that's worth doing because it's educational. But I want to really point out the separation of powers that we need to go back to, because whether he bombs an empty airfield or not, I mean, it's better that nobody died. I concur. I completely agree. Don't misunderstand the point. But I guess I'm saying this idea that he has authority and or funding and or permission to do these things is where my concern lies, Lowell. He doesn't have permission or authority in any way.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. In fact, there's only been, I think, 5 declarations of war in our history, in the history of the United
States. Hold on just a second. Let's come right back to it, Lowell, in just a second. We'll get Lowell's take on it. My problem is the separation of powers, and we really need to rein in branches of government who act outside of their scope of delegated authority. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, in seconds on your radio.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Congress 3 weeks ago literally backing us into NATO. Most of them ran on a humble foreign policy. Donald Trump specifically attacking NATO on the campaign trail, saying, hey, we got to get out of these foreign entanglements. They're costing us a gazillion dollars. We can't sustain it. And our partners, or whatever you want to say, our allies, whatever words you want to use for this, these people should be paying their fair share. They're not. We're going to renegotiate these deals and get out of a lot of them. I really wish Donald would do it. He talked big on the campaign trail, but now he seems silent as Congress continues to back the same old hawkish policies of yesteryear that have got us into these foreign entanglements and literally drained the treasury to no end. not to mention the immorality, the immoral wars that we've been engaged in for literally my whole lifetime and beyond. And I'm a half a century plus old, ladies and gentlemen, so wow. But I bring all this up to say that it shouldn't matter how hawkish or dovish an individual is, because we should be using the checks and balances that made America great. We should simply say the president does not have authority to engage in these kind of exercises or these foreign entanglements at all. The War Powers Act is literally a congressional responsibility. And if we really took that seriously, you would have to have funding come from the House. You would have to have the House and the Senate agree. Congress would declare war and define how long we're there and what would need to be required to get out of it and to finish it, etc. But it would also be that the congressional representatives would be answering to the people. In other words, you'd have a broad-based understanding of we're going to go for war with a legitimacy behind it. In other words, you'd have to explain it to the American people. The American people would need to support it. It was intentionally one of the most broad, debated, discussed issues before action was taken. That was intentional by the Founding Fathers to set the bar very, very, very high. The problem is we're not obeying the principles. We're not obeying the supreme law and the checks and balances law.
Well, one of the good things that Senator Rand Paul did back in June was as the chairman of the subcommittee on the Homeland Security Committee, this subcommittee's name is Federal Spending Oversight and Emergency Management. But they basically have a subcommittee of the Homeland Security Committee. Senator Rand Paul chairs that subcommittee, and he held an important hearing on the war powers and the effects of unauthorized military engagements on federal spending. And out of that, out of those hearings, has come some marvelous testimony, sparkling with the principles, the just principles upon which our Constitution was founded. And over about every week for the past two or three weeks, the CampaignForLiberty.org website, Norm Singleton has been and will continue to post the written testimony from that hearing. And so a couple weeks ago, he posted the testimony of Judge Andrew Napolitano. And then last week, he posted the testimony of Jonathan Turley, the Shapiro Professor of Law at George Washington University. Now, before diving into some of their testimony, I just wanted to give you a data point, folks. The United States has declared war only five times in its nearly 250-year history. We declared war in the War of 1812, also in the Mexican-American War, which was waged in from 1846 to 1848. Then again in the Spanish-American War of 1898. Then, of course, World War One, and finally, World War Two. Those are the five wars, the five times.
And the Civil War, right?
Nope. We did not declare war. The United States Congress did not declare war during the War of Northern Aggression.
Wow.
Yep. It was simply
I did not realize that, Lowell.
Yeah,
hold on
government
a second. Did you realize that?
You know, I didn't, but then... it's not a surprise to me.
I agree. It's not a surprise. It's tragic but true. Thanks, Lowell. I didn't realize that. Wow. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and in these five wars, there have been a total of 11 declarations issued against different countries during those five declared wars. For example, in World War II, we made a declaration of war against Japan and then later made a declaration of war against Germany. And so those were two declarations in one war. And what I'm saying is that there were 11 such declarations in those five wars where Congress actually declared war. And one of the great things that I really liked about Jonathan Turley's testimony, and folks, you can read the entire statement, his entire testimony, that CampaignForLiberty.org website. One of the great things he did during his testimony was that he described the historical, the erosion over time of the separation of powers that Sam mentioned at the top of the broadcast. This important, absolutely essential, vital part of the framework of our Constitution, it vested in Congress and in Congress alone the sovereign responsibility and authority to declare war. It was not given to the president. It was not given to any other group of men or women. It was vested reason they did that was because the founders, the framers, they knew that the executive is the one most prone to go to war. They did not want the executive branch making any decision like that to go to war. For example, here in, let me get this great, great quote here. James Madison said it most succinctly in a letter to Jefferson. He said, quote, the Constitution supposes what the history of all demonstrates, that the executive is the branch of power most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly, with studied care, vested the question of war in the legislature. And then Madison later proclaimed in 1793, quote, the fundamental doctrine of the Constitution, that the power to declare war is fully and exclusively vested in the legislature.
And the reason for that, Lowell, really quick, is to make sure that 535 people would be on the hook to be responsible for the expenditures and the justification of, and then that we, the people, would have the greatest chance every 2 years. Every 2 years, we can take literally a significant portion of those out, send a clear message of, I don't know that I should use the word punishment, but of correction for the Republic to say, this is not the track we want to go down. It gave clear evidence publicly, transparently, about what the people wanted, what the congressional representatives wanted in the broadest sense we could possibly get, because that was the way to prevent war, but yet justifiably carry out missions as necessary, very selectively, only if enough felt justified. In other words, like the Declaration of Independence, can we lay this out for a candid world of justification? It was that high of a bar, sir.
You're exactly right, Sam. Spot on. And then Jonathan Turley describes the erosion of this particular power. And he talks about, he says this, he says, the rise of an uber presidency has threatened the stability of our system. Much of this imbalance is due to the acquiescence of Congress in yielding greater and greater authority to the chief executive. The legislation under consideration today, he's talking about SJ 59, the legislation under consideration today is one of the most chilling examples of this acquiescence and the danger it presents for future generations. He says there can be no weightier issue for Congress than the conditions under which this nation goes to war. The costs of such decisions are real, they're immediate, and often catastrophic for many, many families. If there is a sacred article in the Constitution, it is Article 1, Section 8. It is not merely a constitutional, but a moral responsibility. It is not simply a power, but rather an obligation that was meant to adhere to every member of Congress upon taking the office, upon taking the oath of office. But unfortunately, he says, from the earliest stages of our republic, members have struggled to avoid the responsibility for declarations of war. And regrettably, this new authorization for the use of military force, SJ Resolution 59, is the inevitable result of this long history of avoidance, end of quote. And so you're right on, Sam. The Congress has given, and unconstitutionally done so, they have no legal authority to do this, but they have delegated to the president, the chief executive, this authority to wage war, which is exactly what the founders did not want to happen. They would be rolling over in their graves, Sam, if they knew that this Congress today is making this type of a decision today. And it's totally sad. You know, we talk a lot for years we've been talking about the danger the Constitution is in, and it'll be hanging by a thread. There will be almost no way we can recognize the Constitution. This is one more example of that very thing. Sam?
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty.org, doing a phenomenal job breaking down the checks and balances to make America great. You put this War Powers Act wrongfully placed along with dishonest money, and wow, it's off the rails. We'll talk about it, Sam, Kurt, and Lowell in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that I could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm live from New York. My 14-day trip ends tomorrow night. I come home, I'll be live in the studio on Wednesday. You know, a lot of people get fill-in talk show hosts when they're gone because to them it's just a job. To me, it's a sacred honor to be on the radio and share our love of liberty with you and our desire to make America great again by helping America become moral again. It's about God, family, and country. To where I don't get fill-in talk show hosts. We do rebroadcasts of previous shows on occasion if they're tremendous. We sometimes don't have the best audio because we're different places. It's all about God, family, and country. And once in a while, we travel and we've got family with us. That's just how it is. I've got 8 kids and a couple of grandchildren, and family's just growing every day. I bring that up to say you probably have not the best audio with me on the phone line right now. You've got kids in the background because they're all eating waffles as we get ready to go to the Atlantic Ocean. This is what we do. We live and eat and breathe this stuff, folks. This is not talk for us. This is not hyperbole. This is not us playing a character or something like that on the air. This is who we really are through and through. All right, back to the topic at hand, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, bragging shotgun. I was mentioning right before the break that you literally violate your oath of office by not taking your responsibility as congressional representatives to deal with the war powers responsibility. And you let the president just run amok, and that way you don't have any blame or any responsibility. You kind of pretend you're sidelined. When it goes well, you take credit. When it goes bad, you blame it on the president. You literally are always held over a barrel when it comes to funding. You combine that, in my opinion, violation of the checks and balances with dishonest money, Lowell, and there's no end to how hawkish and off the rails this has become.
Well, and by dishonest money, of course, you're referring to the ability of Congress to spend money that they don't have. They simply add zeros, electronic zeros, to their accounts, bank accounts, and they spend that money into existence. And therefore, it's an infinite store of electronic money, fiat currency that they have. And that, coupled with war-making power, means we're going to be involved interminably in war. And because we can spend all the money we want, and we can attack and fight and bomb anybody we want. It's a sad state, and we have to get a handle on this. We have to stop doing this. We have to audit and then end the Fed, and we have to rein in, check the power of the executive. Congress needs to reassert its authority, take back its power, and take its responsibility seriously. It has a responsibility, a sacred responsibility, to be the only body that declares war, and we should not be making war without a declaration of war by this Congress.
So now, one of the last points on this, Lowell, before we let this topic go and move to another topic, one of the last points that I want to mention, you know, we act like, and one of the big reasons when I talk about we shouldn't have war, what people say to me is, well, Sam, we've got to go around the world and fight these wars because we want to make sure that it stays away from our shores. Around the world, we fight wars to keep it from our shores, is their rallying cry. And I submit to you that that's a lie, and that that will eventually be the reason that they end up on our shores. We will have foreign troops in America someday, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a disaster when we do. But I'm telling you that this around-the-world cop mentality, or this hawkish declaration, or hawkish war mentality without a declaration, is the cause. And I'm telling you that this will be the reason they end up on our shores, Lowell.
Well, I totally agree, Sam. We are viewed as the bully of the world. We're not as the policeman, the good gentle policeman, but the bully. That's how other nations view us. And they are awaiting for the blessed day when somebody, you know, some big other country like China or Russia can strike this bully in the eye, give it a black eye, and set it back on its heels, and teach us a thing or two. That's what they're hoping for. And I tell you what, we would do well, Sam, to back off and to quit this war-making effort throughout the world. And if we fail to do this, to stop, then we will one day, like you say, have foreign troops in our own land, and they're going to be really angry with us. And it's the politicians, the ones who create all these wars with each other. The 95% of the people, we simply want peace. We want prosperity. We want opportunity. And we're going to lose those blessings if we allow our elected leaders to continue to take us into war, Sam.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. On a lighter note, there's three movies Lowell Nelson wants to remind you that we highly recommend. Lowell?
First is Operation Toussaint. I don't know if I'm saying that word correctly. Probably the name of a city in Haiti, Toussaint or Toussaint, Toussaint. This is the latest documentary produced by the Operation Underground Railroad, which is an organization founded by Tim Ballard, basically designed and dedicated to the freeing of children who are in slavery right now. There are 2 million children in slavery right now, in various kinds of slavery, whether it's labor slavery or sex slavery or even human or organ donation slavery. They are in chains, basically. And this is an organization that goes about the world, and in mainly in other countries, not the U.S., but mainly other countries, helping the police understand how to do sting operations and how to nail these traffickers and free the children. They put together a film. The most recent one is called Operation Toussaint. And you can learn more about this at ourfilm.org. That's ourfilm.org. It opened in theaters on Wednesday, July 25th. It's still in theaters throughout the Wasatch Front and maybe elsewhere in the nation. I don't know, but it's very worthwhile. And what I recommend that people do is they go watch the film and then decide, after watching the film, what they can do to contribute to the success of this Operation Underground Railroad to free more children from the clutches of these evil men and women. And so that's my first recommendation, Sam. I saw this film 2 weeks ago at the premiere here in Utah, and it is absolutely sobering. And we cannot continue to turn a blind eye to the plight of these men, women, and children that are in bondage, in real slavery. There's probably more people in slavery today, Sam, than there were 100 years ago, if you can believe that.
And that's the that is the untold story, ladies and gentlemen, of what Lowell's talking about. Educate yourself with the film, and once we have a knowledge of the truth, then it's time to get involved and make a difference. Film one, see it today. Film two, Lowell.
A Little Pink House. This is a film named for the color of the home that Suzette Kilo refurbished in the city of New London, Connecticut. Everybody might recognize the name the Kilo. The Kilo decision issued by the U.S. Supreme Court in roughly 2005, a little over 10 years ago, has become one of the most hated decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court in our day, and for good reason, because the U.S. Supreme Court said in that decision that a city, a municipality, could seize your property and give it to another private property owner if that second private property owner would generate more tax revenues than you did. And so, obviously, no one's home is safe under such conditions because, obviously an office building will always generate more revenue than a home in a residence. And so no one's home would be safe. Well, because of that decision, we had what we call the Kilo effect sweep the nation, and 44 states subsequent to the Kilo decision issued by the Supreme Court, 44 states changed their laws regarding eminent domain in order to prevent that similar abuse in their own states. So that's the good news. The bad news was that Suzette Kilo and about 95 other residents of New London, Connecticut, lost their homes. Well, I guess a lot of them sold out under pressure, but there were five or six of them that refused to sell, and of course they were.
Yeah, but you know what, Lowell? It reminds me though of the IRS. You know, some people refuse to pay and go to jail. Folks like me are forced to pay, so I don't go to jail. What's the difference? It's just a level of where you draw your line and what actions you're willing to take. But the principles are the same. Whether you're forced to sell your home and leave versus whether you just get your home taken, well, you know, what's the difference?
Yeah, in fact, that's brought out in the show when Suzette is sitting down with her husband talking about this. She says, "You're telling me that if someone comes, a burglar or somebody comes into my home, I can shoot him, I can stop him, but if the government comes in and takes my home, I can't do a single thing?" Right? That's what we're up against. In other words,
The reason that I bring this up, Lowell, is because I don't want anybody to get for any sense of the idea that all the others that sold their homes were any more willing. They were just not willing to take the issue as far, but they felt just as wrong, just as violated. It was legalized plunder against them.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
We're talking with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, about must-see movies, three of them. The second one, Little Pink House. Any quick comments on that one before we go to the third one? Critical to understand this asset forfeiture and this eminent domain stuff, ladies and gentlemen. It violates property rights. It violates fundamental principles of America. It's out of control and must be stopped. Any more comments on this one, Lowell?
Just the website, littlepinkhousemovie.com. You can learn more about that movie and how you can see it if it's not playing in your area. The third movie,
excellent.
Sam, is
third one.
Yeah, is the third one is Death of a Nation. It's the latest offering by Dinesh D'Souza, entitled Death of a Nation: Can We Save America a Second Time? Now, many of you understand that both parties are bad. I mean, let's get it out there. Both parties are bad. Dinesh D'Souza, in his earlier films, has really exposed the dirt on the Democrat Party, and he does so again in this party. In fact, he's making comparisons between Abraham Lincoln and Donald Trump, and there's probably pretty good comparisons there. You know, they're both being smeared by the left and so forth. And so what he's tacitly doing is saying the Democrats are bad, and the Republicans are good. And, of course, it's not that simple. I think both parties have blood on their hands when it comes to the corruption in this country and the fact that we've turned away from the constitutional framework underpinning this country. But be that as it may, I think it's worth seeing. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to see it this Tuesday evening, and I'll be able to report on it next week. But if you have an opportunity to see this movie, I recommend that you do so, and because I think it will expose a lot of the corruption within leftist organizations throughout the country. And again, it's just worth seeing. You can find more information about it at deathofanationmovie.com. Sam?
Give the three movies all in a row and give where people can learn more about them, and then we'll get the final topic by the end of the hour, sir.
Okay, first film was Operation Toussaint at ourfilm.org. That's OURFILM.org. Second movie, Little Pink House. You can find more info about that movie at littlepinkhousemovie.com. Third movie is Death of a Nation, and more information about that movie at deathofanationmovie.com.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible work by Lowell Nelson. He's also been very influential in Utah, helping those films debut, if you will, and literally helping organize opportunities for patriots to join together, not only go see the movies, but to spend some time together for dinner and milling around, getting to know one another. Just tremendous work by Lowell, by Campaign for Liberty, by many others that have been influential in it. And I'm super sad because I've been out of town for most of these showings. I've missed out on it tremendously. Kurt, have you had a chance to attend them?
I have not. I guess you could say, been there in a virtual reality way as I, attend the farmers markets, doing the, work of the day for me. But wish I could have been there, and glad to have Lowell's efforts in this area.
Well, and there you have it. You know, it's hard for us sometimes to attend these things, but I want to make sure they're available and see as many of these as I can later. But it's important to understand the movies and the work that other patriots are doing. That's part of what the whole roundtable concept is about, promoting the sacred cause of liberty, bringing to you the work that others are doing. Right now, we got the work of CampaignForLiberty.org on the radio and their tremendous efforts to bowl. We bring you these three movies, again, patriots involved in all three of them. So that's what the roundtable does best, is bring to you news the networks refuse to use, bring people onto the roundtable to really bring as many representations of those working on the sacred cause of liberty we can get. Final topic for the hour, Lowell.
This is the U.S. Supreme Court decision. It's called the Wayfair decision and Utah's response to it. Sam, this is a very important thing. I lead with the question, is the U.S. Supreme Court fallible? Do they ever get an issue wrong? Do they ever make an incorrect decision, issue a bad opinion? Well, I, for one, Sam, believe the court is fallible and that they, as over the years, have issued numerous wrong opinions, incorrect opinions, ideas that run counter to the plain language of the Constitution and to the minds of its writers and ratifiers. This South Dakota versus Wayfair is one such decision. My opinion, Sam, this will have a huge impact on consumers and on small businesses unless Congress takes some action to correct the court's horrible mistake. Because in 1992, in the Quill Corps versus North Dakota opinion, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states could only force businesses who had a physical presence in their state to comply with state sales taxes. And simply selling goods via catalogs or online does not meet the physical presence test, right? So if you're a business in Utah and somebody from Nevada bought your product, you didn't have to charge sales tax. Because that person in Nevada, I mean, that business did not have a physical presence in Nevada. Well, along comes the Wayfair case, which was decided this year, just a few months ago. They issued the opinion about it. They said in Wayfair that most internet retailers will be forced to collect sales taxes on every purchase. An error in collecting these taxes could cause a small retailer to undergo a costly, time-consuming audit, or even audits by multiple state governments. The compliance costs, along with the sales taxes themselves, will raise the cost of online commerce, which will burden consumers and limit the growth of internet businesses. Now, this is a huge problem, because he writes, just 2 weeks ago, Sam, the Utah legislature met on July 18th, and they approved a bill, Senate Bill 2001, entitled Online Sales Tax Amendments. And I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, you've got a legislature in your state that's doing the same thing. This bill was signed by the governor on July 21st, in, by the way, in the month we celebrate our Declaration of Independence from the tyrannical rule of King George, no less. Well, this bill, it passed the Senate. There are only four senators that voted against it. Five senators were absent. And in the House, there's only three representatives who voted against it, and with five representatives absent. So 5-3, that means there are 68 representatives that voted for this bill in the state of Utah. And what they said in this bill was that any seller in any other state, any of the 49 states, who sells more than $100,000 of goods, that's a gross, right, who grosses over $100,000 or does 200 or more separate transactions from the sale of tangible personal property, blah, 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 shall pay or collect and remit the sales and use tax imposed by this chapter. Wow. Now, just think about this for a second. Think of the burden that this legislation places on sellers in the other 49 states. And say you're a business owner in Wyoming, Sam, and that you sell leather products, okay? First of all, you don't expect to gross more than $100,000, so you don't collect sales tax from your consumers. So anybody who purchases your products online, you don't impose a sales tax on them. You know, if anybody from Utah that buys your products online, right? But let's say that you have such great products, word gets around, and you end up selling $120,000 worth of products to people in Utah in the year 2019. Now what? Well, now you owe 5% of that $120,000 to the state of Utah. That's $6,000, Sam. That was part of your bottom line, and now it's $6,000 off of your bottom line that you have to remit to the state of Utah, even though you did not collect sales tax from the consumers living in Utah. Well, so thinking this through as a business owner in Wyoming, you say, well, maybe I better collect sales tax just in case I happen to exceed that $100,000 mark. And so here you go. You collect, you gross $80,000 in leather products. And so what do you do with the $4,000 you collected in sales taxes, right? You're not obligated to remit it to the state of Utah. You could return that sales tax to the people who purchased leather products from you, but that would be tedious and time-consuming. And then you have to answer the question, would it be ethical for you simply to keep that $4,000? Well, I don't know that's ethical. So you're in a bind that way, too. So whether you collect sales tax or you don't, you're up a creek. Now, that was just affecting one, that was one seller in the state of Wyoming affected by the laws of Utah. Now, consider, say, 49 other states, they passed similar legislation. Maybe Colorado sets a threshold of $50,000 for 100 separate transactions. Maybe California sets a threshold of $500,000 or 500 separate transactions. And, of course, each of these states will likely have different tax rates, maybe even graduated tax rates, or tax rates that get phased out after certain thresholds are met, or that are progressively higher. So how are you, Sam, as a business owner in Wyoming, a small business owner, how are you going to track all of this information? How are you going to, and if you don't track this information, then you might become the subject of an audit by the state of Utah and by the state of California and by the state of Colorado and, who knows, a dozen other states.
And at some point, Lowell, one of the things that happens, too, is they start small. You might have 50 municipalities now if there's 50 states, but at some point counties are going to say, wait a minute, we have different tax rates than another county, and there's over 3,000 counties in the United States. And eventually they're going to back into this discussion county by county to say, wait a minute, we have different taxation in our county. Now you would say, well, Sam, some of that's county specific. But the county's going to say, well, we need to see at this table too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, there are nearly 10,000 taxing entities in the United States. You got the 50 states, you've got all the counties of the 50 states, then you have the various communities in those counties of the 50 states, and then you have service districts in various regions of the county, spanning.
And then you've got multiple tiers of taxation. You got multiple tiers of taxation, too. For example, if it's entertainment, if it's going out to eat, if it's hotels, there's a different tax than there is for normal goods and services, so to speak. And so there's all kinds of manipulations and contortions that you have to go through. And how is one supposed to get it right? It reminds me of the IRS and the regulations. Even if I want to comply, even if I'm willing to comply, which in my case, it's both. I do want to comply and I'm willing, even though I think it's wrong and it should be shut down because it's unconstitutional. But when I say that I'm willing and to comply, I just mean, hey, I'm not ready to take on that fight. I'm just going to comply for now. Nevertheless, I don't even feel good when I'm done, feel confident that I've done it right or that I'm in safe zone, if you will. And the same thing is going to apply here. They're going to create regulations and taxation to absolutely obliterate the economy if I continue.
You're exactly right, Sam. I recommend people call their state representatives, let them know how you feel. Call your congressman, get them to reverse the Wayfair decision. That's our only hope, folks.
And we need to rename this the Way Unfair. That's what it needs to be called. It's Way Unfair, ladies and gentlemen. Write that down and remember who told it to you first. Thank you, Lowell.
You're right, Sam.
CampaignForLiberty.org is his website. Check it out today. For Sam and Kurt, we, the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. The only question left is, will you help? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic for the United States of America.